verse 25. Why is the church important to new believers? That's what we're going to look at tonight. In Hebrews 10:25, the Word of God says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I believe with all my heart we're probably in that day is fastly approaching. And the church is important to new believers. When Jesus established the church, let me just go back and say this. When I was born physically, I was born to Edwin and Janie Jones, and I had a physical family. And when I was born again in the kingdom of God spiritually, I became a part of God's church, His building. And this old earthly body that I have is part of, as the Bible says, we're the temple of God. The church is not this building with these lights and pews and all of that, but the church is a spiritual family. When you're born again, you're born into that spiritual family. Now, you know, the church is people who have faith in Jesus Christ. They followed Him in baptism, joined together, I believe, to fulfill the great commission of the Lord in Matthew 28:18 and 20. Once you're saved, you have a new relationship there. He seals you with His Spirit. Our old relationships are still there. You know, they become less and less and less important to us, though, don't they? I know when I was born again in the kingdom of God, I had a spiritual family, and I was born into that spiritual family at Eastside Baptist Church in Rusk. And, man, we had some great times together. Our relationships with one another grew. They got to know me, I got to know them, and we come to know Jesus Christ in a deeper relationship. And those old relationships that I had, they were still there with people, but they weren't as important as they once were. You see, I had a new family, so to speak, and that local church, that body of Christ there. I was telling Brother Bill, as you know, I think it's Brother Bill. We've been together, you know, for a week now down on a hunting trip. And that old body that of believers there, man, we had some great experiences and experienced the presence of God so real. I was telling him that church and that group of believers there, the men had a real closeness. Now, not that we don't have a closeness here, but I was telling him, it was you that I was telling this, wasn't it? Okay, thank you for, man, I hated to say him over and over and over, and he said, "I don't know what you're talking about." I've been known to do that, but on Tuesday night I was telling him that we got together, the men of that church, every Tuesday night at the pastor's house, and the pastor there, he was never married, and he had a nice parsonage there, and the men came over and we sat around the living room there and we prayed together. Now, believe it or not, we had about 23 men average on Tuesday night praying for God's church, that body of believers. Now, that's what the church is there for, the spiritual body, to lift one another up. It says encouraging, exhorting one another. And there was brothers there that had just been saved, and they didn't know anything about the Bible, and I was probably one of them. And we prayed for one another. And the things that went on in our life that hurt, we prayed about those things. And we encouraged one another and exhorted one another to live that Christian life. That's what the church is. It's a fellowship of believers, encouraging, exhorting. That's why it's important in our life. I didn't want to miss. I was telling Brother Dave back here a while ago, you know, when I miss Sunday, Even when we went off to go hunting, and I missed that one Sunday, I think, oh man, I should be at church. You know, you feel guilty about it. But, you know, we love the Lord. We love our fellowship so dearly. And those men loved and lifted one another up. I was telling them how God answered prayers. We went on mission trips, man. The men went on mission trips. I never will forget. We went to, I done forgot. Cripple Creek, Colorado. Florissant, Colorado. It's a little town out in the middle of nowhere over the divide out that way, towards the divide out of Colorado Springs. And the men had a revival there in that church. And it was a little white church. And like an old school building, you see, that was what it was, a little white church. It had no restrooms. They had a back outside, they had an outhouse, and it had a moon so the light could come in, you know. And we was all kidding about that. Said, man, we need to take up an offering here and run up some electricity out there so they can have a light. But we had the sweetest fellowship with those people there, holding that revival. And at night, we went out and encouraged other people in that area to come to that church, you know. And they had a great meal there for us. And it was on an old long bench like you'd see. And oh, we was all lined up there. I never will forget, my father was there. And he said, you know, this is about the best chicken I've ever had. And that woman said, that ain't chicken, that's rabbit. And he said, that chicken just getting bigger. Rabbit kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He could swallow it then. But it was, you know, we had a great time. And we did missions. That's what the church is here for, to encourage a fellowship, to do mission work. Oh, we did things like that. And it started with God moving in the hearts of men. And then there's that ministry of Jesus. You know, we went out and we invited other men to join our prayer time and invited other men to join our church and come to church there. And my brother's daddy-in-law, some of these guys know him. He's a big guy. He was running a big dairy down there. And I was in his house telling him about Jesus Christ on a Sunday night or Sunday when they had a football game Sunday evening, and he said, Booney, get out of my house. I don't want to hear that. I'm trying to watch the Cowboys. And when he said, get out, you got out, because he was bigger than Tom over here. He just was a big guy, and you did what he said. But he was lost, and I kept praying for him, and we mentioned his name many times as we sit there around that living room, 20-something guys, and his friend had become saved, and he was concerned about him. His wife went to church very faithfully there at Eastside, and a great worker, and he wouldn't let her come for a while, and she was obedient like a wife and stayed home, and he felt so guilty about that. He finally let her go back to church, and we was praying that night around that circle, and I never will forget, there's a young man there, said Marty Woodruff, and he said, you know, I believe that God is showing me that we need to claim RS for salvation. And the Bible says where two or three agree. And oh, the presence of God was so real in that fellowship that we had. And several men said, yes, let's claim him for salvation. And you know, we'd write his name down on a sheet of paper there, we prayed every Tuesday night, and we all claimed him except one, his friend. And we claimed that he was going to be saved. The Lord showed he wanted him saved on Sunday morning. And I never will forget, Butch started laughing, and he said, well, I can tell you right now he's not going to be saved Sunday morning. And we said, why? Well, we've already got a quail hunt out in West Texas. We're leaving Friday to go out there, and we'll be gone to back next week. And that didn't change nothing. We still believed God was telling us he was going to get saved, and we left that place on Tuesday night believing God that he was going to get saved. Well, guess what? Friday before he left, it came the biggest snowstorm out there that you've ever seen. The roads were shut down, and guess what? RS came on Sunday morning and got saved. Not only did he get saved, he brought his whole ball team the next Sunday to go to church. And revival really broke loose, but it was that church and that fellowship. That's what a church is for, folks. That's what a church needs, men and women praying and staying together in prayer. That is the local church, and it is expressed in two ways. They gather on the Lord's Day. And folks, the Lord's Day, I believe, is this beautiful day here. Now, there's other times of instruction, like we have on Wednesday night. Now, you know, I don't know what I could do on Wednesday night if it wasn't for the Wednesday night to push me over to get me on through to Sunday. But we need that exhortation, and we need that communication there to help us grow, help us make it through those weeks. And we have instruction there after we're once saved. That's what the local church is for. It's for that fellowship. It's for instruction. And Brother Teddy mentioned a while ago, to worship and share. Oh, the sharing that we need. Many people are saved through testimonies. And then the church scattered. As they scattered in the book of Acts, to go out into the world and tell and show their Christian lifestyle. Folks, outside these doors is a mission field. Very outside these doors, whether you've heard it at Walmart, whether you hear it at McDonald's, whether you hear it at Brookshire's, everywhere a Christian goes, they go together with Christ because Christ lives within us. Oh, that's the church is so important to the community because that's where they see Christ. That's where they see the new believers. That's where we need to be in our Christian walk. And then it's not only important for the new believer, the new individual believer, you know, this is where we make some of our dearest friends. Dear friends, I've said many times, you are my family. I tell you, and when you see your family hurting, you hurt with them. And when you see something happens in your family, you want to be with them. Now, sometimes, you know, our families disappoint us, don't we? We have things in our families that times that people disappoint us. Not all are perfect. You know, the Bible tells us that we're just born again. We're babes in Christ sometimes. And we still do things sometimes that are sinful. We still act like babes sometimes. Oh, but the grace of God. Man, I thank the Lord that he didn't quit on me. You know, I'm not perfect, and I know you're not perfect. None of us are perfect. We make mistakes. And that's where the family really comes in to new believers. We are there, you know, to help them through those times. You know, when you see a brother doing wrong or someone like that, we ought to say, hey, you know, we don't do that. We don't do that as Christians. And learn to encourage them. And yet, learn to forgive them because they're just new in a Christian life. A good example is Aquila and Priscilla. They're two mature believers, and they helped this younger person. It's found in Acts 18. Now, they encouraged and strengthened the life of that believer. And any time we see a person that's not living like they should, you as a believer ought to help them and strengthen their life as a believer and be willing to say, you know, I forgive you when they're not perfect and restore them into that love and fellowship. You see, once we were new believers and we grow as Christ, but we have a relationship in the family. I know in my physical family, I've got I got a brother that he's not always perfect. But you know what? I love him, and I'll tell him I love him, and I'll encourage him to keep on trying, keep on doing the right thing. And I was talking to my sister the other day, and she said, Booney, there's been such a change in his life over the last few months. And I said, praise the Lord. You know, that's what we want to see. And folks, I see young believers that are here in this church, and they need that encouragement. They don't need criticism. They need encouragement, the Bible says. Now, they're just young believers. But remember, Jesus Christ has changed our life, and he wants to continue to grow us to mature believers. That's what the church does. It works with people. It helps people, you know, have a closer relationship and a walk with God. Jesus, remember, he was condemned by the religious leaders of that day for being a friend of sinners, but he never allowed them to lead him into unrighteousness. Did you hear that? We can be a friend to a lost person, but don't let them lead you to unrighteousness. You tell them that what the Bible says. Now, you know, I don't go to unbelievers' parties and things like that. I don't even go to believers' parties, hardly. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm tired by the end of the day. I just like to go home and sit down sometimes. But, you know, that's what we do. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Watch what you're doing. Watch where you're going. You know, watch what you watch on television. Watch what you watch at the movies. You're supposed to be the light to the world. You're supposed to be salt of the earth. Don't lead someone astray. And we must not be pulled away from Jesus Christ by loss. That's the reason it's so important to be here on Sunday morning. That's the reason it's so important to be in your Bible class. That's the reason it's so important to have a group prayer time or whatever, to keep that light burning in our life. Folks, the church is important. Our lives are to be different because Jesus now lives in us and through us. At the same time, we're supposed to be compassionate, wanting others to experience the same love and the same saving grace that we have. If you know a lost person, you tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. You tell them that he died for them. You tell them that sin corrupts, but the blood of Jesus cleanses. Now, what can you do for the lost person? Pray for them. Pray for them by name. I told you about RS, man. We put many on there, and God changed a lot of lives. Pray for God to convict them of their lostness. Pray for them to understand the truth of God's word, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Pray that they are accountable, and tell them they are accountable to God, and one day they'll stand before God. Tell them that he'll remove their blindness from their eyes if they will just look to him. Folks, they will have, if they'll have faith in God, he can change their lives. I've watched it time after time again. I get so excited when I go back and review my old prayer list. You know, I can tell you time after time, God has changed a person's life. There's no accidents. We talked about it this morning. God leads us step by step by step. He puts you here for a purpose. He leads us in his way. As new believers, we have new expectations in our life, and the church is there to help us. He says, a new commandment I give you, love one another. Just as Jesus loved us, we must love one another. Now, if we have hate in our heart, or we don't love one like we should, folks, we can't expect God to answer our prayers, you see. He says, by this people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for the other. Loving each other is a mark of our identity in Christ Jesus. Think about that. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from life, or death, to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brethren lives in death. Now, we ought to love one another. That's who God created us to be as he saved us. And you'll have not only love for one another, you'll have love for who? His church, because this is his church, the body of believers. Now, we love his family. This is your new family. We have a lot of new members here that's come over in the last few years, have joined our fellowship, been saved and baptized. We ought to love them and pray for them. Lift them up. And not only that, we're about through, but he says we have a new commission in Matthew 28:19. The way God has to take the gospel to the world is by using you and I. Think about that. There's no other way. He uses you and I to tell the world. Folks, I was just telling Rhonda at lunch today, I said, you know, not just because we have a son that's a missionary overseas, but I really feel like we don't do enough for our missionaries. We don't understand what they go through each and every day. And, you know, it's not that they don't have people praying for them, but they just give up so much. And I said, hey, I don't believe we give enough to Lottie Moon. I don't believe we give enough to Mary Hill Davis. I don't believe we give enough to our state missions. Man, we've got to reach out to the world. You know, why didn't God take me home to heaven when I got saved? Because he wasn't through with me. You see, he's not through with us. Why did he put this church here? Because he's got it here for a purpose. Someone once told me, he said, if you drive up from that road down here, y'all built the church backwards. He said, that church has a key. If you looked at that window, it does look like an old key that you turn in and turn. And he said, you know, I believe God's put this church here because you're a key to this community. And I thought about that for many times. He wants us. He wants to use this church to reach this town. He wants to use this church for a purpose. And folks, that's the reason we're here as a church tonight. I don't want to ever dismiss church. I just don't want to do that. I don't want to ever just say we can't come on Sunday night or Wednesday night, because, you know, he wants to use our lives. And folks, I don't know about you, but I can't make it on this Sunday morning. I just can't do that. The old devil's too powerful. The world's too pulling away. And he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, the day is approaching. That ought to just make us a stronger commitment to his house and to his body. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for this group of people. And Lord, if there's someone lost here tonight, I pray that they might simply say, Lord, I want to be saved. I want a new life. I want eternal life. And Lord, that they might come simply by faith, trusting you, repent of their sin, and turn towards you, and let you live through them. And we'll give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.